Mountain Pine head football coach Sam Counts has two major concerns about this week's game against Spring Hill. His Red Devils are facing the Spring Hill Bears, the team that they defeated last year for the eight-man small school state championship. The other concern is the fact it is homecoming. I'm James Lee, and I spoke with Coach Counts about the upcoming game. This is Garland County Locker Room, brought to you by the Sentinel Record.
Hey man, how's it going?
Good, how are you doing, bud?
Oh, not too bad. Just wanting to see how you're feeling about this week.
Well, if it wasn't homecoming, I'd probably feel pretty good.
Right. You know what I mean? I do.
It's just, you know, and that's just a coach's nightmare, you know, and you know, you don't want to take anything away from the kids, but it's such a distraction, you know, for a 17, 18-year-old young man.
Right.
And we got to overcome that, and then we're playing Spring Hill on top of it. That's pretty good. You know, they who we played in the championship last year.
Right.
And they're going to come gunning for us, I'm sure. So we got to have a good game. We got to put all our distractions aside and get after it. And, that's why I get paid the big bucks, I guess. So that's my job.
Right. So what kind of offense do they run?
They're similar to us. They'll run a little wing tee, and they'll run some one back and doubles. And they try to throw it a little more than we do. They've got a left-handed quarterback that's pretty good. He played against us last year after their first-team quarterback went out. They also got a number 15 they try to get the ball to in situations. He's a load, and they got those receivers out there that are pretty precision guys. They, you know, I don't think they're real speed guys, but they run really good routes.
Right. So other than the fact that it's homecoming, what's your biggest concern going into this one?
Just, you know, and homecoming is, you know, you can use it for a crutch if you play bad, but my biggest concern is us just coming back from the loss last week and building on it instead of taking it as a beating, you know what I mean, as something bad.
Right.
I think we got a lot of positives out of playing hall, and I'm trying to make the kids understand that you know, we did some good things against them, even though we did lose. But, you know, it wasn't that bad of a loss, you know, if that makes sense, you know.
Right.
But they need to build on what happened and have confidence instead of feeling like they got beat up. So, and just getting themselves mentally ready and overcoming a loss from last week.
Yeah. Let's talk about last week again. You know, like we said, you said over the weekend, you know, they're bigger, they're, you know, stronger. They're a what are they? Originally a 6A school that's playing 8-man.
They were a 6A school. They dropped down to 5A, and they've lost a lot of students to the new school out there Southwest. But you know, what they got to pick from, pretty big, pretty athletic people.
Yeah. What was it about them that, you know, was the biggest issue for y'all?
Well, they just by see in the it was 14-6 at halftime, and in the third quarter they just kind of wore us down, you know, with their size. You know, you just keep you having to go tackle a 230-pound guy. You know, it's and you're about 150-160. You know, it just it wears you out.
Right.
And I think that was the biggest deal. They just leaned on us with their size, and we just you know, couldn't stand in there with them.
Yeah. How do you feel about how the guys are going into this mentally?
I feel good. You know, we look at some rankings sometimes just for motivational factors, and they're ranked number one in AA Spring Hill is, and we're ranked number four, so. You know, we've used that as a motivating factor, and I think the kids have bought into the fact that people think they're better than us, you know, And, you know, we got to, that's what we got to go with, you know, as far as being motivated. You got to find some reason why you want to win. And our kids have kind of bought into the fact of the rankings. So.
Yeah. How do you feel about going up against them, you know, man to man? I mean, you know, like you said, you've played them before, you know, but they're kind of gunning for you.
Yeah. No, physically, we're not real big, you know, up front. You know, we have Glasgow. He's a big guy. And Gooden's a big guy at center. But our two guards are small guys. But I feel good about us going against them. They got a big kid, 78, that plays double span, that doesn't move as good as, you know, probably they had like 22. But they do some things on defense. They try to confuse your stuff. And that's what we've had to do is look at a lot of different fronts. They'll put a nose guard down and stand up three linebackers and like that, that'll try to confuse you and bring them and try to mess you up in the backfield. But matching up against them, I feel confident. They don't have the speed we have. But I think, you know, we're faster than them, and we're as physical as they are. So I feel good about our matchup with them.
Yeah. And how is your team health-wise? I mean, I know it's halfway through the season, so.
Dejon Matlock is going to practice today, his first day back. He turned his ankle, and he's back to. Hey, so he'll be able to go. Jaden Walker has some injuries, but he's had a leg injury that I think he's back from. He's fine too. So I think we're in good shape physically.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right, bud.
Christian Collins spoke with Cutter Morningstar head coach Matt Kinzinger about his team's upcoming road game against the Woodlawn Bears. The Eagles have won two games in a row and are hoping to pick up their third straight win as they travel to Rising for Friday's game.
I want to welcome Cutter Morningstar head coach Matt Kinzinger back to the podcast. Coach, how are you doing this evening?
Excellent, thank you.
Yeah, all right, awesome. Coach, your team is coming off two big wins on a two-game win streak. Just how does your team look to carry that momentum forward into the game against Woodlawn?
Yeah, I mean, we're getting into the meat of our conference here, and we're going to start to see some pretty stiff competition. And so we need to carry as much momentum as we can into that and build off of that, have some confidence knowing that we can play with anybody, and being able to also, you know, part of the learning process of winning is learning how to get better when you win, you know, and so that's always a challenge too. So that's a different skill set that we've been working on. So those are some of the things we've been focusing on moving into this week.
Yeah, you know, overall, just kind of what's been working for your team in general to turn this season around a little bit over the past couple of weeks?
You know, back when we talked earlier, we talked a lot about trying to get some guys more, you know, some rest. And so we play everybody. I mean, there's not somebody standing on the sideline the whole game, regardless of the situation. We rotate guys in and out, big guys in and out, skill kids in and out. You know, and sometimes it can bite us in the butt a little bit, but, you know, it's in the long run, I think it helps with our longevity and our ability to maybe run through some arm tackles in the second half or to make that crucial tackle in the second half where before we were, you know, maybe a little bit exhausted. You know, our kids, we just continue to focus on the basics, you know, tackling, blocking, running our basic plays well, and just trying to slowly expand the playbook as we master those concepts. This for a coach, being my first year in 8-man football and calling plays and trying to practice and do different things. I feel like, you know, I'm getting more, I'm getting better at that, you know, because really it is different when it comes to practice and calling plays. Now it's still football, and it's I've never once thought I was in an 8-man game versus an 11-man game on a Friday night. It feels exactly the same for me, but it has been an adjustment from that play calling perspective and making in-game adjustments. It's a little bit different, and there's a lot of unique offenses and defenses that you'll see you know, when you go out there on Friday night. So I feel like as a staff, myself and our staff has gotten better too, to help put the kids in a better situation.
And you actually just touched perfectly on my next question, which was, you know, before the season even started, you told me adjusting to 8-man would be a challenge, not only for your team, but something for you as a coach. Now 5 games in the season, how do you just think, you know, if there's anything else you'd like to add? You just talked about it, but, you know, about that adaptation to 8-man for your team and yourself.
Yeah, you know, when you get to the middle of the season like this, and kids are kind of banged up a little bit, bruised up, and so you have to change practice. And I think everybody does that, you know, no matter if it's 11-man or 8-man, everybody kind of middle of the season, you got to kind of feel the pulse of your team, where they're at. You know, they're giving you max effort, but they're, you know, a little banged up. So sometimes you have to adjust practice a little bit, you know. So that's part of coaching in general. And, you know, because of the numbers and you basically the fragility of the numbers, you know, you have to be even more ultra aware. And so practice changes for us a little bit, because, you know, if you got one or two guys that are a little bit banged up and you just want to get minimum or limited reps in practice, you know, sometimes you don't have another guy to go to. So I look at it as an opportunity to, it's kind of like a worst case scenario situation where I'm putting like wide receivers in at guard, and, you know, we're putting a tight end at running back and quarterback. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, and the kids kind of have fun with it. So, you know, it's like, you know, the whole world's about to melt down, you know, worst case scenario, we got 8 guys left to go onto the field. How are we going to do it? You know? And so, you know, we try to do that kind of stuff and try to have a little fun with it, you know, and do the best we can. But you know, those are some things, you know, this time of the year, I think, trying to make those adjustments as we continue to push towards the season, starting to feel out what the playoff situation looks like, and trying to figure out the games that are critical. And I think, you know, this week's game is critical for us, you know, getting into the meat of our conference, and we're fixed in the face good opponents, you know, every week now. And so I'm just looking forward to seeing how our kids, you know, rise to the challenge, and how they adjust to games that are kind of a little bit tighter. And to go back to your earlier question, you said, you know, kind of what got us rolling, or, you know, where has it been? I think, you know, the game against Spring Hill kind of catapulted us forward. I think we did a good job with our off bye week, and we came back focused. Last week was homecoming. We maintained our focus. So to me, that's a sign of maturity in our team. And so we just need to continue to cultivate that and make sure that that's something that we continue to do. And I think that'll benefit us as we play tougher teams and get into the hard parts of our season.
Yeah, and, you know, looking at your opponent, Woodlawn, just what kind of challenges are they going to present to your team on Friday night?
Yeah, Woodlawn's been a successful 8-man team since 8-man's been here in Arkansas since 2018, I believe. And they do a very good job. They are physical. You know, they're going to really challenge us up front and in the box as far as their run game goes. They have some skilled kids that can, you know, come downhill on you and run pretty hard and be physical, and offensively and defensively, they do a pretty good job of really packing the box and making it hard for you to run. So we're going to have to win some battles on the interior this week, and it's really going to test our guys there. And, you know, we try to rotate those guys the best we can to keep them fresh. You know, big guys always get tired quick, so you got to keep them rotating around. But so that'll be trying to find the, you know, the key pieces there will be in the game, you know, adjustments. So, but yeah, they're just going to be a physical team. You know, they're just physical, and so we're going to have to match that.
Yeah, and on defense, I know physicality is probably the main thing, but what else do you really want your team to focus on defense to try to stop that Woodlawn offense?
Yeah, you know, we have to be able to defeat blocks. You know, that's something that we work on every day, and we have to tackle well, and that's something we work on every day. And I know that sounds cliche, but that's the reality. You know, when you're going against a team that packs it in, and you're everybody's packed in there, you know, when somebody kind of breaks through, you know, there's not a whole lot of, you don't always have the affordability in Ink Man to have, you know, one or two safeties sitting in 10, 12 yards to be able to catch that guy before he walks across the goal line. So sometimes there's a risk reward there to try to, you know, to try and stop the run. And so we've got to do a good job tackling on the interior. So we've got to defeat blocks and win at the point of attack. And we've got to tackle well on the interior. And, you know, so those are the kinds of things that we've got to focus on and do well against them. And, you know, we're just going to have to learn to play a little banged up too. You know, I mean, if you know, something gets hurt in the middle of the game, you know, and it's a crucial moment, we need to be able to persevere through that.
Yeah, and just looking at your offense, you know, we've talked about senior LaShawn Jones multiple times this season, but there's somebody else I also want to focus on. We got to look at Caleb Scholes, who had 159 yards and a touchdown on just six carries at Cedar Ridge. What can you kind of tell us about Caleb Scholes?
Well, the first thing I'm going to say about Caleb is he's a young guy, and he's accepted the challenge of wherever I put him. He's kind of like my Swiss Army knife where, you know, if we got a guy down, I can put him on defense at corner. I can put him outside linebacker. I can put him on offense at wide receiver, at quarterback. He gets reps there. He gets reps at running back, wing back. I mean, he can do it all. And so his willingness to be able to do whatever I ask him to do has been beneficial for him and for our team. And so, yeah, he's, I mean, he gets in the open space. He's fast. He's one of the fastest kids we've got on the team. So whenever we can get him out there and get him open. Now, that's the other thing I'm going to say is that, you know, the week prior to, we had a running back that had, you know, 210 yards and he couldn't play this past game. Well, then we got a guy that doesn't normally play a running back come in and has, you know, 160 yards on six carries. So to me, you know, they're good athletes, but what that's telling me is our offensive line is doing a great job of blocking and creating lanes and, you know, having executing and knowing their assignments. And so there's some good blocking going on up front. So I think that's seeing multiple backs be able to rush for that many yards is really showing the maturity and our cohesiveness as a front line there to be able to do that.
Yeah, and I do want to talk about LaShawn for a second, just because, I mean, he doesn't seem to be slowing down. 178 yards and four touchdowns on nine carries last week. Just how is he continuing to have that great pace? Because I know he plays a lot of snaps. And just can you talk about what you expect from him on Friday against Woodlawn?
Right. Yeah, so, yeah, you know, I'm trying to – first and foremost, what helps LaShawn and his success is the fact that, you know, he's a good leader and he's poised. But also because we're having kind of a two-headed monster, you know, where Spring Hill, it was just him primarily, it seemed like. And that's where I got better as a coach, just for the fact that I knew I had to spread the ball around and not put him in a situation where I'm just gonna wear him out. We're trying to give him, you know, some rest on defense. So he's coming off the sideline, trying to stay fresh in that sense and try to keep him healthy. He's our player. He's got to go out there and he's got to make plays on defense too. But, you know, whenever we can give him a rest, we try to the best we can. So that helps him out. But he's, you know, he just shows up and practices hard every day. But again, you know, it goes back to our offensive line. They're opening up holes for him, and once he makes the cut or he sees the opening, I mean, he does a good job of finding open space and making stuff happen. He's tough to tackle. That's one thing about LaShawn. He'll run through a couple tackles, and so that helps him out, you know, get those extra yards.
Yeah, and, you know, just overall, how's the health of your team looking heading into Friday night?
Man, you know, I think we're probably as most of banged up as we ever have been. You know, but I also will say that I think it's just part of football in this time of the year when you're in the middle of your season. You know, kids get banged up a little bit, they get tired. You know, the weather starts to change and it starts to get daylight later, and so they don't want to get up in the morning. And I think all that kind of plays into their overall well-being. And you know, we have discussions. Had one today after practice. Hey, listen, it's critical time of the season. You're beat up, you're banged up, you're bruised, and things hurt. You don't seem like you recover like you did earlier on. You just got to take care of yourself. You got to go to bed at night, get some sleep, you gotta get off the phone, you got to drink lots of water and try to feed yourself as clean and as best as you can with good food. But rest is a big thing I see with these young guys, and so they've got to they got to take care of themselves, and so that would give us longevity moving forward. But, you know, so we stress that a lot.
High school football here in Garland County is getting into the meat of the season as we enter week 6 of play. This has been Garland County Locker Room. Our next episode will be released on Sunday, October 10th, as we go back over this week's football results. If you like our content, please consider subscribing so you can get our latest content as soon as it becomes available. Also, if you have any comments, questions, or suggestions for new episodes, please drop us an email at sports@hotsr.com. We look forward to hearing from you.